Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. This is a live show. Our phone number, as always, is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt is answering the phones, twiddling the dials, and flogging the mutant hamster today. Now, I wasn't going to get into this until later in the show, but when I listened to the news break, I feel I must address this because the story about the bombing on the border of Gaza, killing the one Israeli soldier, is not up to date, because in point of fact, a group has claimed responsibility for the bombing. It's an Islamist group, supposedly linked to Al-Qaeda, that calls itself the Jihad and Tawhid Brigades, which sounds, you know, well, who knows, but they've contacted news agencies and said they did the bombing as an attack on Israel. And so Israel basically has had to backtrack from the claim that this was something that was done by Hamas. Unfortunately, Israel is taking the tack that even though Hamas didn't actually have anything to do with the bombing, Hamas is still responsible, and so the attack on Gaza is ongoing right now. In addition to the soldiers that the Newsbreak report mentioned, we are getting reports of Israeli warplanes once again bombing inside Gaza, and tanks once again driving into Gaza. And it looks like, you know, basically this ceasefire that Israel called for was just long enough for them to get more bombs and bullets and ammunition from the U.S. taxpayer, and they're cranking up this operation one more time to go in and just exterminate the people of Palestine. And in this context, I mean, if it was always the plan to find some excuse to go back in and continue this genocide, then the pressure that was brought to bear on the BBC to not show the aid program really makes a lot more sense, because BBC's credibility has been savaged by this whole situation. So has Sky News. People in Great Britain are tearing up or turning in their BBC licenses. In the United States, people are calling their cable providers and demanding that BBC America and Fox News, which is owned by the same group that owns Sky News in Britain, they're demanding that these be disconnected and their bills not be charged for them anymore. So it was a very ugly situation, which didn't make sense in the context of a ceasefire, but in hindsight, if Israel was planning all along to renew hostilities in Gaza, then it makes perfect sense they would want to keep out aid people because they want a clear field of a killing field. Basically what it is, it's a return to the killing field mentality. And so let's get back here and talk a little bit about the economy, because that's what I really wanted to start the show with. I didn't want to get into Israel and Gaza till further in, but I just had to respond to that report on the news break, because it's not accurate. It's not up to date. They probably recorded it earlier in the day. Looking at the Dow Industrial Averages, they were bouncing all over the place. The volatility is just incredible. And it's really a fight over which side of that 7,000, 8,000 border the market comes to rest during the day. It did end 58 points up, which is a relatively minor amount. And people are saying, yes, but it's positive, and it's up there, and so forth and so on. But if you look at it in the context of the degree of volatility and how much up and down, again, it's within the noise. It's not a significant up by any stretch of the imagination. Meanwhile, more layoffs being announced. Texas Instruments, IBM, Target Stores, a lot of smaller companies are laying off people. This does not get into the news, but we did link a new website which reports on layoffs from small companies. People get laid off from their companies. They go to this website. They post an announcement. My XYZ storm door and condiment company has just let go 45 people. And just looking at the volume of it, it looks like these big ticket layoffs, like we saw Caterpillar letting 20,000 people go, that's, you know, obviously major. But if you look at all the smaller mid-sized companies that are letting people go as well, it is just a huge disaster out there right now. Meanwhile, more Ponzi schemes are being uncovered. There were two more that were mentioned in the news today. Hedge fund manager Arthur Nadell finally turned himself in. He was running one of the Ponzi schemes. And Nicholas Cosmo, head of Agape World Incorporated on Long Island, was arrested for a $400 million Ponzi scheme. $400 million, it's peanuts, you know, compared to Bernie Madoff's. But still, you have to wonder, where has the Securities and Exchange Commission been all this time? Is it okay to run a pyramid scheme as long as everybody's making money from it? I mean, it's still a crooked operation. You're still taking money from your new investors to pay off your original investors, and eventually it's got to collapse, like Social Security or like the Federal Reserve. But where, you know, after Bernie Madoff's confession, now the SEC is trying to do its job. It's way too late. The crime has been committed. We don't want punishment. We want prevention. That's what we pay our taxes to the government for. Is not to act all butch once the crime is over, but to get in there and prevent these things from happening in the first place. And that's what the government's supposed to be doing when they take our tax money. They're not doing a very good job of it. Speaking of taxes and money, California is within days of being completely out of money. They're preparing, as soon as we get in February, they're going to start sending out IOUs for state welfare checks, student payments, certain paychecks for certain areas of the state, all kinds of other assistance, social programs. The checks are stopping. The money is stopping. And this is a crisis situation, because once those welfare checks stop and people start getting hungry, that's when you're going to start seeing more riots. And I've lived through a couple of California riots. They're not pleasant. They're not fun. Don't want to be doing that anymore. And I've noticed that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has managed to lose his girly man comment. Let me replay that from his campaign when he was running for governor.
Now, there's another way you can tell you're Republican. Your faith in free enterprise, faith in the resourcefulness of the American people, and faith in the U.S. economy. And to those critics who are so pessimistic about our economy, I say, don't be economic girly man.
Okay, well, Arnold, the economic girly men were right, and you were wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. And every time we hear more and more about the deteriorating situation in California's economy, I'm going to keep on throwing that quote out there. I'm going to put your video up on my website, because, Arnold, you are a fun guy to work with on the film set, but you are not a civil administrator, and you never have been. You got put into power by the Enron group, who wanted a more pliant governor of California while they played their little Enron games until Enron collapsed. And that's why you're in the job that you're in, and you're not qualified for the job. And California's current fiscal disaster is absolute evidence of that. Now, yesterday, speaking of the economy, we talked about this 93-year-old gentleman who froze to death. Marvin Schur is his name. He froze to death in his home in Minnesota because the electric company had put a limiter on his electric power because he's behind in his payments. Okay? Turns out, we're finding out today, this is a World War II veteran. This is a guy who served in the war to protect this country. And this is the reward he gets. He's allowed to freeze to death inside his own home, while the U.S. government gives billions and billions of dollars of cash and billions of dollars of weapons to other countries like Israel and Georgia, and gives tons and tons of money to bailouts to people who are so rich they don't even remember how many homes they own. And this guy, a hero of World War II, is allowed to freeze to death in his home. This is a country with some very screwed up priorities when this happens. When we have American women and children sleeping in alleys and eating out of trash cans, this government has no business giving one penny to any other country. It's a sin. It is a sin when our priorities are that much out of sync with taking care of our people. Now, finding something a little bit lighter, because I know the show can be a real downer, apparently there's one portion of the economy that's actually doing very well. It is what is called the restaurants. These are restaurants like Hooters, and the numerous copies come along where the waitresses are rather scantily clad. I mean, they don't really show much of anything, not like the original Hooters. I remember when they first started, it was a lot more revealing. But these restaurants are actually doing very well, because the food isn't all that good, but hey, everybody likes to look at a pretty girl. We're going to take a break here. Join us on the air, 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
Oh, man, the news is just coming in so fast today. I can tell already we're not going to get to the bottom of the talking points list for today's show. We are just getting a story in from Los Angeles. A husband and wife, call it a team, if you will. They were both medical technicians. They were both employed by the Kaiser Permanente Medical Center in West Los Angeles. They were both fired at exactly the same time, and after faxing a letter to a local TV station saying that they had simply run out of hope, they killed their own children and then themselves. And this, I wish we would say this is a unique situation. We're already aware that it's not. There have been reports of lots of suicides. People have seen the work of an entire lifetime dissolving before their eyes. As the economy just absolutely craters, and this is just a tragic, tragic story. According to the letter that was faxed to the TV station, this husband and wife shot their children rather than have strangers raising them, obviously under a great deal of stress. And I think if there's one thing that we could call for right now, and if you want to get on the phone and call your Congress critter right now, I think we need to immediately enact or push for a law where if a husband and wife do work for the same company and that company is facing downsizing, that they should not be able to fire the husband and wife together at the same time. If they're going to let one go, they have to retain the other for a certain minimum amount of time. And I realize if a company collapses completely, you can't do anything about that. But obviously, Kaiser Permanente is not in danger of collapse right now. And so out of simple humanity and recognition of the current economic situation, I think this rule has to be put in place. As soon as I'm done with the radio show, by golly, I'm going to email Barack Obama and make that suggestion myself. But seriously, this is something we should push for because it can be done immediately. Can be implemented immediately, doesn't cost anybody anything. And so turning over to our legislature and what they're doing to keep us all healthy and happy, Congressman Peter King, desirous of making all of our lives better, has introduced legislation into the current Congress to mandate that all cell phone cameras make a clicking sound when you take a picture so that people are aware they're being photographed when you take their picture with your cell phone. Important piece of legislation. It is obvious that Peter King is very much in touch with the pulse of the nation and our needs and concerns right now. If you ever get a chance, go out to Netflix, you get this movie called Deal of the Century about weapons sales. It's a Chevy Chase, Sigourney Weaver movie. It's a very funny movie, and it's about this South American dictatorship that's having to raise taxes to buy more weapons, and he blames women who wear slacks for the necessity of raising the taxes. And this is the same thing. Our country is melting in front of our eyes, and this guy is going to make it his business to make sure your cell phone camera makes a clicking sound. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Okay, well, as we were talking about briefly at the top of the show, the ceasefire in Gaza has apparently already started to come apart at the seams. An Islamic group has now claimed responsibility for a bomb at one of the Palestine or Gaza border crossings that killed a soldier. The Israelis immediately shot a Palestinian in retaliation. And as of the last word we've gotten, there are warplanes over Gaza commencing the ground attacks again, and tanks are inside the border of Gaza one more time. Zippy Livni is taking all restraint off, which is a ridiculous statement given the last 3 weeks. And, of course, they're already in there killing more Gazans when this Islamic group comes up and says, no, we did it, Hamas didn't. And rather than reverse themselves and pull out, Israel is saying, well, okay, this Islamic group did it, but we still think Hamas is ultimately responsible, so we're going to go kill a bunch more people. So they're in there, and they're killing people. They really are. Meanwhile, as a distraction possibly, we are one more time seeing the cranking up of propaganda regarding Iran's nuclear threat to the world. And earlier today, the Drudge Report was running one of his little siren-blaring headlines, Iran nuke this year. Although the story he actually linked to basically contained a lot of exaggerations. And I believe one of the quotes they had there was, during 2009, Iran will probably reach the point at which it has produced the amount of low-enriched uranium needed to make a nuclear bomb. Now, this is a very telling statement because, and we're going to get into some nuclear physics here, people, low-enriched uranium is what you make to make the fuel rods for a nuclear power station. And to recap, under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which the United States has signed and Iran has signed, Iran has a legal right to build nuclear power stations, because the oil's not going to last forever, and they have the legal right to make the fuel rods for them. That is their right under treaty the United States has signed. As a side note, Israel has not signed this treaty. The International Atomic Energy Agency is in there watching what Iran is doing and says they're building a power station. And that's all they're doing. Low-enriched uranium cannot be used to make a bomb. You have to reprocess it over and over and over again in order to make something that will go bang. And if Iran were doing that, it would be very, very obvious. Now, we know that, you know, Israel was making claims about Iraq's power station, the Osirik reactor complex. But just prior to their going in and bombing that, they were insisting Iraq is building nuclear weapons. And then after the invasion, 2003, international examiners, experts went in, took a look at the remains of the reactor, and they found the bombed-out ruins of a power station and no signs whatsoever of a clandestine weapons lab. And you need to remember that even back in 2006, Israel was screaming all over the American media that Iran would have a nuclear bomb within months. Well, obviously, it has been a long time since then. Iran did not make nuclear weapons. They're building a power station. And so it just needs to be reminded, you know, Israel is like the little boy that cries wolf. Wolf, wolf, Iraq has nukes, bomb them. Boom, we wreck the country. Ooh, Iran has nukes, go bomb them. Boom, we go blow up that country. And it's, you know, Israel's laughing at us. All they got to do is point to one of their enemies and say, oh, they've got nuclear bombs, and they can count on the dumb Americans to spend their money and the blood of their children to go kill whoever Israel wants killed today. And it is a scam, because every time we go in there and we trash a place, like Iraq, we'll go in and take a look, and there's no evidence for these nuclear weapons that Israel claimed everybody had. It is a con. It is a scam. And it is time to stop, because all we're doing is we're using up what little remains of our wealth, and we're certainly wasting a lot of the lives and health of our kids to no good purpose, and we're making enemies around the world. And as I mentioned yesterday, I'm going to cover it again real quick, we're getting indications from the Saudi Arabian government they're ready to cut off the United States because of our unquestioning support of Israel. And folks, Saudi Arabia, we buy oil and gas from them, and they take that money and reinvest it back in the United States. We can't get along without these people. We can't piss them off. We need to be very careful here. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. That is a beautiful, beautiful song. I wish it was no longer necessary to keep it in the rotation. But we are going to keep it in the rotation until the Gazans are free from occupation in accordance with United Nations Security Council Resolution 242, which Israel to this very day continues to defy. Now, speaking of international war crimes, as we've reported numerous times over the last few days, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture has come out saying that George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and others yet to be named should be prosecuted for torture and war crimes. And moreover, that Barack Obama is mandated under the UN Charter to carry out such prosecutions. It is not an option. It is not an option. Barack Obama is obligated under the treaty that we have signed called the UN Charter to prosecute for the use of torture and for war crimes. There's no choice in the matter. Now, this has put Barack Obama into a very awkward place, and you're probably wondering why you're not hearing this story much in the American media. Well, they'll get to it eventually when they realize the story is out anyway on the blogosphere. If Barack Obama does not prosecute for torture, then he becomes an accessory after the fact. Certainly the United States, with our international image already battered both by our economic recklessness and our unquestioning support of Israel, we can't survive having a president who says it's okay when our leaders torture, regardless of what we say to other countries. Go around other countries saying, oh, you shouldn't torture, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Well, it's okay for us to do it. You know, we're special. We're allowed to do that kind of stuff. So it's a very interesting situation. Ultimately, I mean, the reality is if it comes up in the United Nations Security Council, the U.S. will simply veto it. But that's going to just make things look a lot worse. The United States holding itself to be above the law. Now, I've noticed in a lot of the coverage that we're getting in the American print media, not much on TV yet, but in the print media, they're talking only about Donald Rumsfeld possibly standing trial for war crimes. So I think the plan may be that they're going to throw Don Rumsfeld to the wolves in order to protect George W. Bush. It's a limited hangout. It's a limited hangout. And, of course, it's hoped that we, the American people, we, the morally indignant over what has been done in our name, will be satisfied with this underling being prosecuted and charged and probably sent to Club Fed for his punishment. Or like Bernie Madoff, he'll be sentenced to live in his mansion. But the reality is that Dick Cheney, in the last few days before the end of the Bush administration, made a lot of interviews in the media where he said the authorization for the use of torture came right from George Bush, right at the top, right in the Oval Office. And so it's going to be very, very difficult to sacrifice Donald Rumsfeld as the scapegoat without a huge outcry saying, okay, we want the boss. We don't want the thug who carried out the order. You know, we want Al Capone himself in the docket before a jury of his peers and ultimately in jail. So one thing we are seeing right now is we're seeing this huge, huge media propaganda trying to sell us on the idea that everybody who was tortured deserved it, and all those people who are in Guantanamo, we dare not let them out because they're all hardened terrorists. Oh, my goodness, where are we going to put them? We can't, we can't let them out. They're horrible people. Well, they may be now. They weren't when they were arrested. But after 6 years of being tortured, yeah, they're not going to be very fond of the United States of America. I wouldn't be. You wouldn't be. It's ridiculous to kidnap somebody from their home, take them halfway across the world, torture them for years, and then figure when you let them go, they're going to salute the American flag. It is stupid. The reason for the government wanting to keep these people locked up is they're a potential embarrassment. Because as soon as these people go out, they're going to go right to the newspapers and say, I was a victim of U.S. government torture. And the reason I was in there in the first place, I did nothing wrong. I got grabbed by these thugs running around Iraq who were kidnapping people and selling them to the U.S. Army for the reward money. And that was the only reason I was picked out. We've already gone through it once with this taxi driver. It was just a taxi driver. And a bunch of Iraqi soldiers grabbed him, sold him to the Americans as a terrorist for the reward money, and then ran off into the night laughing. And they tortured this guy to death. One of the so-called hardened terrorists. as a 15-year-old kid from Canada. And they're trying to sell the world that this is a dangerous terror mastermind that must be kept locked up, must never be allowed to speak to the press. Who knows who he might contaminate with his jihadist mentality if he's ever allowed to speak to the public at large. So another shameful part of our nation's recent history, and the bottom line is this is not going to go away. This is not going to go away. When Barack Obama was talking about change, that we could believe him, how I interpreted that and how I expected it was we were going to deal forthrightly with the wrong turn this country made over the last 8 years. We were going to say we were wrong to lock up these people without the civil protections that are guaranteed in the Constitution of the United States. Those protections are in there precisely to prevent this kind of detention without trial, without release, without habeas corpus, without access to legal counsel. That Guantanamo was the very reason the Bill of Rights was written, and it's not exempt. And we need to look at that and say, yes, we were wrong. We were wrong to invade Iraq over lies. We apologize. Here are the keys back. Sorry about the museum. Don't worry about the depleted uranium. It'll fade away by itself in about 4.5 billion years. Sorry about all the birth defects. Hey, these things happen. But most importantly, the change that I wanted from Barack Obama, and we're not getting, was a return to the rule of law in this country as opposed to the rule of powerful individuals. We wanted the people who exceeded their constitutional authority, who defied the Constitution, who broke it, who shredded it and claimed it's just a blankety-blank piece of paper. We wanted them brought up on charges, tried before a jury of their peers, sentenced, and sent to jail where they belong. Absent that, then Barack Obama is just more of the same that we have had for the last going on 20 years. He surrounded himself with all these leftovers from the Clinton administration, call him Clinton Light, and we're not getting any change out of him. We're not getting any change out of him at all. He is not returning us to a nation ruled by laws and a nation ruled by the Constitution. He cannot keep his presidential oath without prosecuting Bush and Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney for torture. Because he vowed, and that is a legally binding oath, he's effectively committing perjury under the law if he does not keep that oath. He said he would faithfully execute the office of President of the United States, and the office of President of the United States' first and foremost job is to enforce the laws of the land, and it is against the law in the United States for torture to be used on prisoners. It's against international law and treaty obligations, which are enforced even ahead of U.S. law, if you read your Constitution. So Barack Obama has already failed on his job. He's already violated his presidential oath. He's not doing the job we elected him to do. And it is just shameful. He's been in the job 1 week. He's brought shame onto the United States. No wonder his points are off 15%. We'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. It's the last segment of the day. We've got a couple of really short stories I want to cover and get them off the little list here before tomorrow. The Liberty City 6 terror trial is back for a third try. Now, back in the summer of 2006, there was this group of men arrested in Miami on charges of collaborating with Al-Qaeda. And this was like huge propaganda all over the newspapers. Oh, my goodness, we caught a terror group inside the United States. And it turned out there wasn't really a case. There was an informant in the group who basically talked it all up, and everybody said, yeah, it would be nice if it would happen. FBI swoops down, makes some headlines, throws them in jail. They have been tried twice. Both trials ended in a mistrial. They're coming up on the third one, where they're going to begin, actually they began picking jurors today. Now, of course, this is a complete violation of the Fifth Amendment. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Now, technically, it's not double jeopardy if there's a mistrial. But what we're seeing in this and so many other cases is the prosecutors will go in to prove that there are terrorists amongst us. And it turns out to be an absolute joke. And every time it looks like the case is going to be lost, the prosecution will deliberately do something that forces the judge to declare a mistrial. We also saw this in the first trial of Aaron Wittada, which, rather than let it go down to defeat, was sent into a mistrial. It's kind of a little scummy trick that prosecutors use to get around the Fifth Amendment. So they're going to try again for a third time, and I'm going to predict right now, they're not going to be able to convict these guys because there's no case. It was a setup. It was a public relations stunt to generate headlines to scare us all into supporting the war on terror. Was about as real as Saddam's nuclear bombs. Now, speaking of nuclear bombs, about a week ago, there were some headlines about how the U.S. Navy had intercepted an Iranian ship filled with weapons intended for Hamas. And the story evaporated almost immediately. Yesterday, the Israeli press came out with a story that the U.S. had indeed stopped a ship weapons from Iran heading for Gaza, and the reason it wasn't getting any press is it was a covert operation by the U.S., and they had to protect their intelligence sources. And the idea was that even though we had heard nothing more about this story, that yes, there had been an Iranian ship filled with weapons headed for Hamas. Well, today we got the true story. The U.S. Navy was ordered to release this Iranian weapons ship because wherever it was going, it was not Gaza and it was not Hamas. You know, Iran is in the business of selling weapons, just like every other country, including the United States. And the ship was able to document that it was on its way to some place that the U.S. says, okay, we will let you sell weapons there. They don't say where it went, but basically the U.S. Navy satisfied itself that Iran was not trying to smuggle weapons into Gaza, and they let this ship go. Another public relations defeat for Israel. Now, a little closer to home, probably a lot of you remember the conflagration down at the Waco, Texas Branch Davidian Church. David Koresh, of course, has been vilified as the reason all those people died, and the FBI sending in tanks and flamethrowers and highly explosive CS tear gas had absolutely nothing to do with it. You know, it was all David Koresh's fault. He was a bad person. Well, unfortunately, sad to report, David Koresh's mother was found earlier today, or late yesterday, actually, stabbed to death at the house of her sister in Texas. They're still investigating that. So tragedy has hit that family yet one more time. Now, meanwhile, a New Zealand man bought himself a used MP3 player at a thrift store in Oklahoma. And when he plugged it into his computer, he found data files, computer data files, with confidential data about U.S. military personnel, including Social Security numbers, telephone numbers, all kinds of stuff. So somebody was very careless. Either they were smuggling the data around on that MP3 player and they forgot about it when they sold it at a yard sale, or who knows. But it basically indicates that the same government that wants you to trust them with all of your personal data really isn't very good at keeping track of their own. So definitely worth looking at. Now then, it's been a very rough winter. We're actually, our lows right here on Oahu are down to 56, which is a record for the island of Oahu. And I know we're not complaining compared to the rest of the country. We're obviously enjoying very mild weather, but it was 56 last night, and that is cold for this island, you know, this part of the world. Meanwhile, a major ice storm is aimed at Washington, D.C., and this time it is not a joke. Al Gore's presentation to the Congress about global warming has been put on hold. Now, turning to health issues, it turns out, now, everyone talks about the obesity epidemic we have in the United States and most of the Western world, and we know that part of that relates to some of the chemicals that are put into our food, whether it is monosodium glutamate, which makes you eat more, or aspartame, which, far from being a diet aid, actually makes you crave more carbohydrates, or synthetic bovine growth hormone, which, if it's not completely metabolized by the cow by the time it is slaughtered or milked, gets into your system through the food and can cause your body to react to this hormone the same way the cows do. You get fatter. Now it turns out there is actually a germ that causes obesity. And they're just now finding this out. And apparently when you first catch this bug, it presents as a cold. You get a sore throat, you cough, you're kind of miserable. But when those symptoms subside, it doesn't mean the virus has gone away. And this bug triggers your fat cells to reproduce more energetically than they otherwise would, and is obviously a major factor in people who are unable to lose weight, no matter how much they exercise and control their eating. So, not to worry, though. With the economy going the way it is, look, being plump is going to be the new fashion statement to prove that you're elite. You know, skinny is going to be out in about another 6 months. Anyway, for those of you who are struggling with the digital TV changeover, and I know I'm one of them, as I mentioned the other day, I actually have a little portable TV I normally use as part of my day job. And just for giggles, I got it out to see if it would receive the new TV digital signals, and it will. But whereas I was able to look at normal analog TV from my home on this unit, and there'd be a little bit of snow, but it was watchable, now the signal is so deteriorated that it's just constantly breaking up and it's really not watchable at all. So the Senate has okayed a four-month extension to the digital TV changeover to give people more time to get their converter boxes, more time to buy those very expensive high-gain antennas so that they can actually get a signal clear enough to work with the digital tuner. And, you know, but this shows that, you know, the Congress really is on top of the needs of the nation right now in these trying economic times. And there's that one. Now, let's see. I mentioned this. I put this up on the website at whatreallyhappened.com. There's snow at the United Arab Emirates. And not just a little bit. I mean, like all the high mountains are completely covered. It's such a shock. And let's see. We already talked about that. We're going to go down here. Okay, last story for the day. New York Police Department officer faces a rape charge. A New York City police officer who was previously charged with sexually abusing three women has been charged with raping a fourth victim. Why does he still have his badge after the first one? I'm sorry. You know, it... My goodness, it's just amazing. You know, there was that story the other day about a 14-year-old kid got himself a uniform, pretended he was a police officer, and nobody noticed. I think that's because most police officers are just grown-up teenagers anyway with guns and badges, and that's why he fit right in. Three off-duty police officers beat a man while he cried for help. And it just gets worse. There's been more stuff coming out about that BART shooting up in San Francisco, too. All right, that's it for our show today. The music means it's time to call it quits and go do other things. So we're going to take a break here. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time. And until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive very carefully. A lot of road rage out there still. And aloha, America.